This is a presentation by Hillsborough Elam. Building bigger, working together, reaching further.
Our theme for this year is going to be transformation. And we're looking for God to change things within our lives. As we stand at the start of this year, we're asking God, would you transform us? Would you change us? Would you do things within our lives? But what can happen is so often is we can run on empty in different areas within our lives. And this is inspired by a talk I heard from Bill Hybels one time. He's talking on leadership, and he spoke about two times that he felt like running away from ministry and from life in general, where he just felt like, I've had it, I want to jack it all in. It wasn't just a moment of being annoyed. There was one time, he writes about it, having an emotional breakdown because of the stresses and the strains. And he says the two times, one was because I allowed my spiritual tank to empty and I didn't heed the warning signs. The second time was because he allowed his emotional tank to be drained so much that I think he had to take 6 months to 9 months off because of the stresses and the strains that ministry had brought to him. And it just made me think, and it really challenged me about how full is your tank in these different areas? And we want to have a look at, over the next while, just having a look at our spiritual tank, filling it up. Are some of us experiencing warning lights in our spirituality, in our walk with God? Are there warning lights? Or is the indicator saying that we're empty? Or are we really going well? I want you to mentally do this at the moment as you look at that. And let me just move this out of the way a little bit. Sorry for you guys. I'm probably blocking you now, am I? All right, no. Can you see? Maybe if we could put the camera on that, because that's more attractive than the speakers. So that would be brilliant. And if we could put it up there and the guys can see, so that as we go along with this, that'd be absolutely great, guys. Thank you. But mentally in your mind, where would you be on these things? As you start to think about your spirituality, how full is your tank? Put your dial somewhere. Some of you might think it's a way up here. New year, I've started a new Bible reading program. I've had four quiet times because it's the 4th of January. Four in 1 year. You know, I haven't missed one yet this whole year. I'm really doing well. I fasted last night while I slept. Do you know, whatever it was, I managed not to eat anything between 12 and 8 this morning. I don't know, whatever it might be, where would your spiritual tank be at this moment in time? Okay, where would you kind of measure yourself on there? Physically, how do you measure yourself there? Now, this is kind of a bit of a, this is an opposite one, because if you're a bit like me and you're too full, right, then you're probably more on the empty side of health things, all right, and you could be more over here. Where do you rate yourself on your health, your well-being, your physical, the physical world that we live in? Where do you rate yourself in your emotional life, your emotional well-being? Where is it? Are you stressed out to the max? Is there a hole in your bucket that no matter how many good things are poured in, that it just feels empty anyway, because there's stress, there's worry, there's fear, there's anxiety, there's insecurity, there's stuff that's going on within your life that just seems to keep emptying that particular tank within your life? Where are you at this moment in time? Are you full of love, peace, joy, and righteousness, the things of the kingdom of God? Or has joy been a distant memory within your life? Are you full of health and well-being and all of that? Are you full of the connection with God and you just feel on fire for Him and passionate for Him? Or maybe somewhere in the middle between empty and full. In your own mind's eye, do a quick evaluation about where you think you are at this moment in time. As we sit at the start of this new year, we want to be intentional about seeking transformation. And this transformation will come as we learn to fill up each of these tanks. As we fill up our spiritual tank, our physical, and our emotional. Why? Because we're totally linked. Okay, there's not this kind of divide within our lives. Oh, spiritually I'm great, but physically I'm terrible, but it kind of balances itself out. No, you see, if spiritually I'm struggling, that affects my emotions. If I'm not connected to the Father heart of God, to the love of God, and if He's not my source, if I'm not grounded and rooted and established in love, then that's going to affect my emotions. It's going to affect my emotions. It'll get me down. That'll affect my physicality. That'll affect every part of my life. If my physicality, my health isn't good, if I'm overweight and unfit. Okay, challenge, speaking to myself. But if those things are going on there, then there's going to be a certain amount of lethargy. There's going to be not the energy and the vitality and the vigor to be able to serve God with all that we want to serve God with. If we're struggling with our health, or we're struggling with our fitness and our well-being, then that affects us emotionally as well. Because if you're tired, you're lethargic, and it's hard to get off the couch, then you struggle emotionally too. You struggle to have that vigor and that vitality about your life. And also emotionally, if you're down here on the empty part because of worry or stress or anxiety or other things that are going on, circumstances that have come into your life, you're still grief-stricken, there's still stuff going on within your heart, within your life. It affects us physically, it affects us spiritually. We are holistic beings, okay? Everything's connected. So it's really important that we view this as a whole and we move forward. And I find this really, really helpful. And I believe this year we'll find it helpful as we begin to move forward. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at how do we fill up our spiritual tank. That's going to be our first port of call. How do we look at filling this spiritual tank? How do we get ourselves from whether you think you're here or there or wherever, how do we get it even fuller? And so over the next little while, we're going to talk about spiritual disciplines. We're going to have a look at how spiritual disciplines open up the opportunity for God to fill our hearts and to fill our lives. And I'm going to say more about that and start on that next week. How do we fill up our physical tank? Well, by getting healthy. By searching for and contending for divine health and healing as well, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, but by getting healthy, by eating right, by exercising, by doing things that we need to do. And it's not just, and if you watch enough TV programs, it's not just the ones that look unhealthy that are unhealthy. There are a lot of you slim gyms that are incredibly unhealthy, and you need to do something about your health, and you need to do something about your physical well-being. But also, during the time that we look at that, we'll look at our physical world and the relationships and the connections that we have with the world around us and how that tank can be filled to overflowing. So we're going to look at those things, and for the first 40 days, this is going to daunt you at the minute, but don't worry, time moves fast, okay? For the first 40 days, we're going to look at this spiritual filling our tanks. For the next 40 days, which leads us, and it's around the time of Lent and moving towards Easter, we're going to be looking at the physical element of things. And during this time, in our midweek program, we're going to be offering a thing called the Daniel Plan, which is a 40-day process where we learn healthy eating, healthy lifestyle, because God's interested in that too. Isn't that right? You're all just looking at me like, what? And then after Easter, we're going to look at this whole idea of emotional well-being and really believing that God will bring healing to those who struggle with anxiety, those who struggle with stress, those whose bucket is completely being emptied because of stuff that we're just going through in life. And we believe that we can get plugged into God and He will fill us up and do some amazing things within our hearts and within our lives. So that's where we're going. That's the journey that we're on. And we're trying to be really intentional about it. And we believe that if we surrender to God in the midst of this, we can see great transformation. That we can see God doing amazing things within our lives. So that's the journey that we're going on. We believe that we can move towards the people that God is calling us to be and grow in Him. We believe that we can move towards and actually achieve a healthier way of life. And we can be healed off and learn to overcome some of the emotional struggles that we may have. Some of you are switching off because I talked about physical, being healthy. But God's interested in every area of our lives. Some of you are feeling guilty, like me. I feel guilty every time I talk about being healthy because I know I'm not. But it's not about condemnation or anything like that. It's about moving forward and believing that this can be a year of change and believing that this can be a year where God really does things in our lives. So we set our gaze, we set our gate, we set our direction and our focus towards transformation. So those are the things we're going to be talking about. But I just wanted to spend a short while this morning just looking at the idea of transformation and having a look at how God transforms us and what God wants to do within us. And I have just three real simple points for us this morning. The first one is this in regards of transformation. Number one, it's an inside job. Transformation is an inside job. It's something that we cannot do ourselves. Okay, so Jonty asked last week how many people have made a New Year's resolution and put their hands up, and then he said how many people have kept their New Year's resolution. It was something like that, and I think as many people have made a New Year's resolution is as many people have broken their New Year's resolution. Yeah? How many people have broken their New Year's resolution already? Oh, you're not going to admit it. All right, maybe you just didn't make one. Maybe you thought, I've broken them far too many times. Okay, but that can happen for us very, very, because we try to bring something on the outside, and we try to adhere to rules or regulations on the outside without something happening on the inside. In Galatians 4:19, Paul talks about this. He talks about until Christ is formed within you. It speaks of a work that is done by God in our lives, in our hearts. Transformation is an inside job. It starts at conversion. So turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Again, you all would know this anyway, but it's good to see it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says there, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. We are new creations. God has done a work within us. Forgive me if I bang on about this all of the time, but it's what I'm trying to do is reset and recalibrate some of our thinking of what salvation is all about. Salvation is an internal job. It's an inside job. It's something that happens in here that affects us. It comes from the inside out. So often we can view salvation as outside in. So there's rules, there's regulations, there's things I do, there's things I don't do. There's all of this stuff, and I'm going to try to pull all of that in and obey. I'm going to try and go to church, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other thing. And I bring all of these rules and regulations and try to impress them upon myself. I remember joining a gym, Fitness First, years and years ago, and I got this t-shirt, and it said, be yourself, only better. Okay, and I actually liked the slogan at the time, but it's this idea of try harder, be better, do a better job. And it was all about me trying. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is that God does something on the inside of us, and it starts to work itself out. It's a change of heart. We become a new creation. In Ezekiel 36, 26, we're told that we're given a new heart. Okay, we're given this new heart. Something happens on the inside of us. When we get saved, we are made new. It's an inside job. And so the incredible thing is, and I love whenever people get really genuinely saved and they encounter God, and they've just changed. You can just see it. You can see it almost straight away at times in people. And so there's things that they were automatically drawn to 5 minutes before their conversion, 5 minutes after. It's not even a part of their lives or a part of their thought process because they're new. They've been made new. It's quite amazing this whenever people are born again. I love those phrases. Some people say they're old-fashioned, but they're good phrases to use because we are born again. We haven't just agreed to a set of lists and beliefs and systems. We haven't just put our signature to it and went, oh, well, I'll believe that for a while. No, whenever we say yes to Jesus, we are eternally changed. He does something on the inside of us. He changes us forever. And I can testify to this. In my kind of teenage rebellious years, I got saved as a child. And listen, anybody involved in children's work, guys, whenever the child gets saved, it sticks. Right? God does something amazing in our lives as children. Because I remember as a child, and I said yes to Jesus probably about 100-odd times a day because I was so afraid of going to hell. But I remember actually genuinely having a relationship with Jesus as much as I could as a child. But I knew that I had a relationship with him. And coming through some of my teenage moments, and I just remember my children are in the room today, so I'll not say too much. But I remember in some of those moments being so drawn towards God. In moments where other people were going crazy, God was speaking into my heart and speaking into my life. When everybody else was going daft, God was doing stuff in me. Because it sticks. Because there's a new heart in there. And it's quite amazing. And I just find that so incredible. I can't go into, I have really brilliant stories for you, but I can't set a bad example this morning. Okay, maybe another day when Kingdom Kids is on. Okay, but safe to say, the regenerated heart was alive and well, even when there was other things on the outside that, for all intents and purposes, looked as if he's ran away from God. I was being disobedient. There was things going on in my life that shouldn't have been going on, but yet there was a heart within there screaming out to the God that I knew as a child. See, he does something on the inside of us. It's an inside job. He gives us that new heart. We've been born into a relationship with God. And then that transformation, that newness, it continues throughout our lives. So turn to Romans. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. It says there, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this age or the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That word, the renewing of your minds, it actually could also be translated in different ways that help us. So this idea of renewing is an idea of refurbishing. Does anybody like those programs where they go in and they take old houses and they refurbish them? Or like, I love sometimes whenever you're off, I'm off on a Monday and sometimes I'll stick on the TV and you have Homes Under the Hammer. Anybody watch Homes Under the Hammer? No? Okay. People who have proper jobs, they're like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, but Homes Under the Hammer, and they go in and they buy these homes in an auction, and they go in and they're totally decimated, it looks terrible, and they do a wonderful job. They refurb it, they often out refit it, and they'll put walls where there were no walls, they'll knock walls down, and create something absolutely brilliant out of something that most of us would look at and go, what could anybody do with that? This idea of refurbishing, and that's what God does within our lives. He renews, he refurbishes, he refits, he knocks down things that were previously there and rebuilds up his own structure within our lives. There's a process of transformation that God does within our hearts. He renews us, he changes us. We're currently undergoing refurbishment. Like, that's pretty awesome. This is where spiritual disciplines come in. They open the door for God's influence and culture into our lives. Does anybody pick up accents quickly? Yeah, I do. I'm wild for picking up accents, right? I see Lucy there. Praise God. I'm only kidding you. No, Lucy's done really well not to. I had a friend that went to America for 3 or 4 weeks, and he came back and he was all, hi, guys. And he actually went, do you guys over here have? And I went, mate, you've only been away for a few weeks. What's going on? I pick up accents really easy, okay? If I was in America, I would be, you know, hey, praise the Lord, everybody, okay? It would be all over me all the time. Do you know where's worse is whenever I'm down south? I pick up a southern accent incredibly quickly. Please don't take offense, Mark, okay? I just pick it up so, so quickly. And there's a story that kind of illustrates this. We were on holiday a number of years ago, and we were staying in these like mobile home type things, and there was a family from down south, and they were beside us, and we'd got chatting to them, and we're talking away to them, and I just picked up their accent so easy, okay? And so there was this mascot in the place that we were where we were staying called Ghoulie. That's the way we would say it, right? Ghoulie. So anyway, Ghoulie walks into the swimming pool area, right? And I got all excited for the kids. And I went, guys, look, there's Ghoulie. There's Ghoulie. And Alison just looked at me like, and those people from down south looked at me like I was making fun of them. I was like, I'm really sorry. I'm not making fun. I just caught their accent so, so quickly. Well, kind of, this scripture speaks in a bit of a way like that. Don't be conformed to the pattern or the accent of this world. You see, whenever we get saved, we had an accent or a pattern that we lived in. right? Because of the culture that we live in, we've got ideas and thoughts and processes and a way of living that's just very much like it fits in with the world. But whenever we get saved in, it's like someone from a different country moving over here and they've got a different accent. That's how much we should stand out. Okay, because we should then be drawn more and more into the culture that God has for us. So don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind into the world and the pattern that God has for us. So to simply say this, we should be changing our accents the more we spend with God. And as we open up our lives through spiritual disciplines, through prayer, through fasting, through meditating on God's word, through worship, through learning to hear his voice, by opening up those doors, we spend more time with God, and therefore we change our accent, as it were, and we become more and more like him automatically. I mean, I wasn't meaning to put that accent on. It just came because I'd been spending time with people like that. And that's what happens whenever we're with God. More and more and more, we become more and more like him. Does that make sense? And we pick up his accent, we pick up his heart, we pick up his characteristics. It's an inside job. As we open up our hearts in those areas, he starts to do amazing things within us, and he changes us from the inside out. And so we desire to be changed. We know that we don't do it alone. We don't try to impress the impossible on top of us, but we allow the God of the impossible to work within us. And so if there's change that needs to take place, if there are things that we need to do in this year that we feel like they're bigger than us, they're beyond us, the transformation that we desire and that we seek, and I stand here as someone who stands and goes, do you know, there's stuff that I want to be able to achieve this year. It's bigger than me. It's beyond me. It's stuff that I've tried before in my own strength and not quite done, not quite achieved. But God can change us and transform us and move within us in such a way that those things that were impossible for us before become possible, because he is the God of the impossible. He transforms us from the inside out. The second thing then is this, that you reap what you sow. Galatians, you turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Just a simple verse, and it says this. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. We reap what we sow. A couple of points to take from this then. Number one, transformation is a process. I mean, we're not going to be able to click our fingers today and go, I'm totally changed. It's a process. It's something that takes time. Transformation is something that God does over a period of time. Probably this is one thing that I could have been guilty of in the past, is coming up to, and maybe some of you are like me, you went up to a prayer line and got prayed for and hoped somebody would wave their magic hand over your head and everything would just change. No, not asked. Has anybody ever asked? But sometimes we have that kind of opinion. Now, listen, God can do things in a moment that could take years to be done, but God also chooses process. God moves in the moment, but he also chooses process within our lives to change us and to move us towards the people that he wants us to be. It's a process. Look at Mark chapter 4. So go in your Bibles, please, to Mark 4, 26 to 29. Mark 4, 26 to 29. It's a parable on the kingdom of God. And it says, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. And so there in that parable of the kingdom of God, we see that as we sow the right things within our lives, then there's a process of growth, a process of change that comes to harvest. And that's what we believe in God, that the process plays its part. And that's the second point, is that transformation is inevitable when we sow the right seed. Transformation is inevitable when we sow the right seed. So look on. I got you to move from Galatians 6, but I want you to go back. So Galatians 6, we've just read verse 7, but we're going to go to verses 8 and 9. So Galatians 6, 8 and 9. Okay, so let's start from 7 again. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will also reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Okay, so as long as we sow the right seed and we persevere, change is inevitable. Do you ever get to the point in your Christian life when you think, this is hard, this is tough, I don't see the transformation I want to see, I'm not where I would like to be, I'm not in that place that I would have hoped to have been by now, but here, listen, don't give up. Keep on going on. Keep sowing the right seed. Keep doing the right things, because transformation is inevitable. If we sow the right seed, the natural consequence of sowing in the Spirit is a harvest in the life that God wants us to live. So keep on going. Don't give up. I love this scripture, Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10. So Hosea is just after Daniel. If you're looking for it in the Old Testament, Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. And it says there, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. And that's what we want to do this year. We want to sow for ourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love. We want to break up some unplowed ground, some hardness of heart, some hardness that's come within our lives. We want to plow that up. And believe that God will shower upon us. Believe that God will move in our hearts and in our lives and bring transformation and change. Sow for yourselves righteousness, the right things, and transformation will come. Jeff used the brilliant illustration of whenever he bought his home a number of weeks ago. He talked about buying his house and how it took time to make it their own. And it's this kind of real strange moment where it's yours, but it's not yours. And you want to put your mark on each room and you want to do things in there. And that's kind of how sanctification and change and transformation works within us. That God just takes a thing at a time, moves us closer and closer to what he wants us to be. If we remember the biblical story of the taking of the land with Joshua, it wasn't all, God had promised the land, but they had to go in and fight numerous battles in order to make it theirs. And so there are battles that we are going to face and fight this year. The promise is that it's ours, because God has said whatever, wherever we put our feet, whatever we walk into in his name, it's ours. So we're going to have to fight at times, we're going to have to step up, we're going to have to move forward, but there's going to be transformation, there's going to be change. Amen? You still with me? So it's a process. If we commit to the process, transformation is inevitable. Number three, dare to believe. Dare to believe. See, we all need to change. If you're sitting today thinking, this message isn't for me, I don't need to change. Well, that's the first thing that needs to change. Okay? Because we all need to change. And I don't tell you that on my own authority. I tell you that on the authority of God's word. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Paul, who has walked with God, has had experiences that you and I probably may never have in God, has been entrusted with things to do for God that you and I maybe will never get entrusted with. But he says this, not that I've already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward the goal and straining towards what is ahead. Here's Paul saying, I haven't made it yet. Haven't got there yet. Guys, if there's if there's still time in front of us, there's still change. There's still things that God wants to do in our lives. There's still transformation that God wants to do in our lives. There's not one of us could sit here and go, I've made it. I've got there. I've bought the t-shirt. I don't need to do any more. I can sit back and relax in my Christian life. In fact, we're called today to say, forgetting what is behind. And that's what Paul was saying. He was saying, I'm forgetting not just the good, not just the bad things, not just the things that I've done wrong, but I'm actually forgetting all of those blessings that I could name and go through. And he does in the start of that chapter, in chapter 3. He says, I'm this, I'm that, I've done this, I've done that, done all of those things, but I'm forgetting all of that. Yesterday's gone. God's still got things in front of me. God's still got a purpose and a plan for my life. And so I'm going to push through to achieve those things. Forgetting what is behind and straining to what is ahead. And guys, I'm here to tell you this morning, God's got more for you. God's got more for your life. The best is yet to come. And those of us who've been on a journey for quite a while, this year marks me being in ministry. Now, it doesn't sound like much whenever my dad's beside me. He's been 40-odd years. I've been 15 years in the ministry. I've been saved most of my life. Partly sometimes you think, my goodness, is there... You've kind of been around the block a bit by now. Do you know what I mean? And you think, now I'm not saying that there's not still stuff to learn, but you can get to a point where I've seen that, I've come across that, I've come across the other thing. And there are people in this room, and you've been around the block a few more times than I have, spiritually speaking. You look fresher than I do. You look lovely. Okay, but guys, here's the thing, and it really struck me. We were at Beth's house. She wouldn't mind me saying this. We were at Beth's house a while, actually just after her mum had died, and she was there with a girl many of you'll know, Lorna, and Bill and Hillary were there as well. And we were talking about the good old days of Bible weeks, and we were talking about the times that God was moving, and we were talking about different speakers who were here, and many of them maybe I'll have different reactions to some of you, and some of you will remember them, some of you will be like, don't know anything about that era. But anybody remember Norman Robertson? We're talking about him. You know, and he used to go, let it bubble out your belly, right? You remember he used to pray, prayed for people, and that's one of the things he said. And we're talking about those days. And I was a wide-eyed, wide-mouthed at times teenager going, whenever God was just moving in people's lives. Remember the Bible week whenever Dave Carr and Ian Bilby were there together? I mean, that was just amazing. I sat in the front row hoping somebody would prophesy over me because that's what they were, just picking people out. But it seemed to be if you didn't sit in the front row, you got prophesied over. So I should have learned that. Should have sat. No, I'm only kidding. But God just, you know, it was just amazing watching and being part of that and looking back to God moving in those times. And, you know, we were sharing stories and Beth and Lorna were sharing stories and all of that. And I sort of was driving home and I thought, Lord, don't let the best stories be in the past. Don't let the best stories be stuff that we're talking about happened in the 90s or in the 2000s or whenever it was. God, let the best stories be the stories that are yet to come, where we talk about how God is about to move, how God has still got things in front of us, amen? Where God is still going to pour out His Spirit and do amazing things for us. And so the best is yet to come. There's more in front of us. And so I want, guys, I want you to believe, and I really feel this in my heart. For those of you who feel you've been round the block and you feel like you've been there, you've bought the t-shirt, and yes, you could teach me a few things, and yes, you could teach other people a few things, but there's still more for you. And I want you to stir up your faith and your belief and your hope that there's more in front of you, that there's more for you in the days that lie ahead. We need to have the faith to believe. To believe what's not here right now in our lives, but to believe for the transformation that God wants to bring. To believe, to stir up our faith. To dare to believe. And you know, I found myself last night, yesterday I was fighting a migraine and I was popping paracetamol and cocodamol, probably too many than I should have, but I was thought my head was going to explode, and I was like, whoa. But I was trying to stir up my faith while I was battling this headache and going, God, because whenever you've kind of done New Year's 37 times, do you know there's times whenever you know, by February, boom, right? And that's if you've done well. And I'm going, God, stir up my faith to believe afresh and anew that this year is a year that's full of potential, that this year is a year that's full of hope, that just this year is a year where you can do mighty and awesome things. And then I couldn't get to sleep because I started to think of all the things that God could do. I started to dream. I started to believe that God could do things in our midst and change us as individuals, and that God could do things. So I don't know what you're daring to believe for this year, but here's some of the things that I will dare to believe God for. I will dare to believe that God will fill up many of our tanks. I will dare to believe that as we look at spiritual disciplines, and yes, as we look at prayer, as we look at reading the Bible, those simple things, but I will dare to believe that God will stir our hearts and that God will cause us to be people of prayer, people of the Word, people who fast, people who run after Him, people who worship Him, people who enter into His presence, people who love Him, people who meditate day and night on His Word, people who have full tanks spiritually for Him, people who understand the call of God upon their lives, people who, if you're asked today, if you're asked in it, in a year's time, what is your calling, that you know what your calling is, you know what God's put on you, you know what God's purpose is over your life. I dare to believe that there are those of you who sit here who couldn't answer those questions now will be able to answer them in a year's time. I dare to believe that physically we'll be able to fill our tanks. I dare to believe that this year, some of us who struggle with our health, some of us who are not living healthy lifestyles, turn that around. And we start to live healthy lifestyles. We get fit. We get into in a good shape. We get into a good place where we're serving God with vigor, enthusiasm, and energy. I dare to believe. Not too many excited about that. I dare to believe that a few more of you will make it out to Colin's circuit class. I'm busy that night, Colin, but I dare to believe. I dare to believe that those who feel like they've got constant holes in their buckets and they feel empty emotionally because of stress and worry and fear and anxiety and insecurity, I dare to believe that God gives us the tools to live free of those things. I dare to believe that those of you who entered this year struggling with depression, that God can bring healing, that God can bring a turnaround, that though there is sorrow in the evening, that God can bring joy in the morning and that you will dance again. I dare to believe that there are some of you who are facing this year feeling that you cannot face it. I dare to believe that this time next year that there'll be a turnaround and you'll skip and dance and have joy and peace and God's love and God's abundance in your life this time next year. I dare to believe that God can do that. I dare to believe that those who are living in mediocrity can be impassioned to live with a renewed vigor for Him. I dare to believe that even the person that's listened to this message and thought, what a waste of time, I don't need to change. I dare to believe that you can be changed too. I dare to believe that the people who have struggled to set a good pattern of connection with God's Word will do so. A good pattern, and you've tried every new year, I want to read my Bible better, I want to spend more time with God, and yet life has come in and crowded it out year after year. Well, I dare to believe there'll be a transformation this year that'll stick. I dare to believe there'll be a transformation this year where your heart and your life will be opened up more and more to God. I dare to believe that people here will discover their calling. I dare to believe that those who struggle to read God's Word will fall in love with it. And we'll learn to hear His voice. Because guys, I know it's not always easy. You're reading that and you go, I don't even know what that means. Well, I dare to believe as we sow the Word of God into our lives that He'll start to speak to us. And those of you who struggle to read this Word, not out of condemnation, but out of delight, by this time next year, we'll just be overwhelmed with its riches and treasures. I dare to believe that those people who struggle to spend time in prayer will encounter Jesus in the secret place and you'll be changed forever. The people who struggle to get you out of that secret place, that you'll find a closet, a place where you connect with God in a very real and amazing way. I dare to believe that those who have yet to encounter the Spirit in a life-changing way will do so and will be filled and will be changed. I dare to believe that some here will receive and walk into the gifts of the Spirit that they desire. I've had conversations with some of you. I know some of you have desired to talk in tongues and you haven't yet. I know some of you desire prophecy and you haven't prophesied yet. I know some of you desire words of knowledge and you haven't walked into that yet. I know some of you desire to see miracles within your lifetime and you haven't seen it yet. I dare to believe that we can step into those things. I dare to believe that God can do amazing things within our lives and bring change. I dare to believe that we will lay our hands on sick and they will recover. I dare to believe that we will be empowered to become effective witnesses everywhere that we are. I dare to believe that we will lead people to Jesus Christ this year. I dare to believe the prodigals will come home this year. I dare to believe that those who have never led someone to Christ will have that privilege this year to lead someone into a saving relationship with Jesus. I dare to believe that our young men and women will have visions and our older men and women will dream great dreams for God. I dare to believe that real, lasting, and impacting transformation is possible in my life and in yours. I dare to believe. I don't know what you're believing God for this year, but I believe that God wants to do something in our hearts. I believe that this is a year where God wants to do something in our lives and bring transformation. So we come to a close. Transformation is an inside job. We reap what we sow. So if we set out this year that we will sow good things into our lives, then those things will come. I dare to believe that God will do amazing things in our midst, that God will do amazing things in us individually and in us corporately.